Let me just first start by saying thank you for joining us today, Mr. Artman. I appreciate it. It's nice to have you on the air.
Thank you for having me here, Mr. I appreciate it.
What do you see are the main things that need to happen to continue economic development in Indian country, in places like South Dakota, where we are now?
When you talk about economic development in Indian country, it almost creates a unifying force as though there's one Indian country. And I think there's a lot of different Indian countries with 566 tribes in the United States. There's almost 566 different kinds of Indian country. And I think we've seen economic development in gaming work for many of the tribes, a little under half the tribes in the United States that have successful gaming operations of some sort. You've seen natural resources or land leasing work for other tribes. Here in South Dakota, you've got some unique challenges. Gaming, which may work for a tribe in Miami or near New York City, isn't going to work as well as here in South Dakota, where you've got substantially less population and different kinds of games that are played. So you have to look for some other opportunities for economic development. And here in this part of South Dakota, you've got such a great confluence of the Black Hills, Rapid City, Mount Rushmore, the Pine Ridge Reservation. There's a lot of opportunities there to come together, to cooperate, to create an economic opportunity through tourism, through cooperation that could probably promote, if not around the calendar, tourism opportunities at least once or twice a year throughout the height of summer and the height of winter. Be a terrific opportunity, but obviously, in order to do that, both the tribe and the city and the state have to overcome some of the issues that may block them from wanting to cooperate with one another.
And do those entities need to come together to find a way to promote tribal tourism? Is that part of what needs to happen?
I think that's a part of it. That's perhaps a result. It may be better just to come together and start to have a conversation, any conversation, to reintroduce who you are and to almost hit the reset button to say, we're the Sioux Tribe, we're Rapid City, we're the state of South Dakota. Here's what we want to accomplish. What do you want to accomplish? And how can we work with one another to make this region a success? You see this conversation happening from coast to coast with tribes and communities from Florida, with the Seminole and the Miccosukee and their local communities. My favorite example is the strong ties of cooperation between the Agua Caliente and Palm Springs and how they've worked together to create tremendous success for that region.
This is a part of the Lakota where one of the last tribes, conquered by white expansion into this part of the country. So the history here is really recent. I mean, I've interviewed Lakotas who remember their grandparents, that tracing the wounds on their grandparents' chests after they fought Custer and from wounds that they received in the Battle of the Little Bighorn. The history here is really close to the surface. Is that more to overcome? Do we have to start to grapple with that history in a better way than we have in this part of the country?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up as saying that's history that's recent that we have to overcome. And see, I would approach it from a different perspective and say that for my tribe and nearly every other tribe in the United States, our history goes back 10,000 years. And so we're looking, what happened 100 years ago is merely a blip on our screen. In terms of one of the things that I always think needs to happen within tribes is long-term strategic planning. And right now, oftentimes, especially here in your backyard, there's so many small crises that have to be dealt with on a daily basis from a tactical perspective that you don't have the opportunity to be strategic. But in terms of long-term strategic thinking, tribes have the history. They've had the history of doing just that and being very successful in it. So to this history of interaction with the United States versus that of the tribal nation, or along with the tribal nation, and this new era in which the tribes live is merely a blip in their screen. I think it's, you look at other long cultures and how they look at it, be it Egypt or European cultures or Asian. They look at what's happened yesterday is merely a blip in their longer history, and there's a longer future ahead of them. Part of that long future ahead of the tribes and the United States is them working together to succeed. Tribes have figured out in the past all across America how to succeed well before the United States and before the United States was colonized. They figured out how to find success, and they're going to figure it out again. But I think now, clearly, it's in cooperation with another government. In this case, it could be Rapid City, South Dakota, or the United States. And just to look at, going back to the history of my own tribe, we found ways to cooperate with one another when we were in New York. We came together to create the Haudenosaunee, or the Iroquois Confederacy. There's a great example of cooperation. You have that throughout the Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, and Sioux histories out here in this region. And all across the United States, you have examples of them working together with other governments to find success, forge success, force success. And I'm sure it'll happen again.
Thank you. You mentioned culture a few times, and I want to ask sort of a broader, maybe a philosophical question on culture and how you create culturally appropriate development. And I'm non-native. I'm what Lakota would say is a Wasichu, but I've had the fortunate opportunities to interview a lot of Lakota elders over the years. And one thing Lakota elders have told me again and again is that to be a Lakota, you put the people before the self. It's mm-hmm. It's one of the values of being a Lakota. And they often say that is sort of runs in the face against capitalism and the notion of building business and making money, and that which is often putting the individual before the people, they argue. How do you overcome those cultural differences, if you know what I'm asking, to create that culturally appropriate development? Can that be done in Indian country?
Absolutely. And I don't think that you have to overcome any kind of cultural obstacles. I think you need to make that culture and that history work for you. For example, in every tribal culture is going to be different. And even in the region and even further west, you look at how tribes interacted with each other. Neighboring tribes would have vastly different methods of engaging in commerce, engaging in governance, and different ways of looking at where the individual ranked versus the entire tribe. And those stark differences would learn to work with one another and to cooperate with one another and to eventually live from one another and in many cases steal from one another or make money off of each other somehow. But that is commerce, and capitalism is just what we're calling what we've always engaged in this world, and that's just the back and forth and trying to make sure that the individual is better off, and if there is a way to profit from that, so be it. Going back to Adam Smith, but with regards to tribal culture and how you can make it succeed, every tribe is going to have a different answer to that. To make the tribe succeed, maybe you need to take a look at allowing the individual to succeed as well, creating more of an entrepreneurial culture, which will allow the tribe itself to benefit from the specific skills, the unique skills of different individuals in there, and I think if you begin to take apart the layers of the onion of a particular tribal culture, and especially one of the Lakota, where the tribe is put the tribal benefit is put before the individual benefit, I think you'll begin to see that tribal benefit is built upon the individual benefit, and that the skills of each can contribute to the betterment of the government, the society, the culture, the tribe overall.
The native business entrepreneurs we've interviewed here have pointed to really positive things they say have happened in the last 20 years in Indian country in South Dakota, that there is a huge advance in native business happening all over the state, even as we speak. They say at the same time, though, there are a lot of barriers to tribal economic development that don't exist in, say, Rapid City, where we are now. They say it's way easier to start a business in Rapid City than it is on a place like Pine Ridge. The trust land issue is an example. You can't get a bank loan on trust land because the bank doesn't see it as yours. It's not the same kind of collateral that you see here. So there are barriers like that. That native business entrepreneurs point to here. Mm-hmm. How do we overcome some of those barriers? Do you agree that those are issues, hurdles that yet remain?
One of the programs that we started at Arizona State University College of Law was a program that focused on Indian economic development. And immediately, when you go out into Indian country, the first thing you hear is, well, we have this trust land issue. We can't use it as collateral. Okay, that's an obstacle. Because in any other business, you're going to have problems getting capital. You're going to have problems with the competition, perhaps stealing your design or stealing your business idea or getting if you're Uber competing against other taxi companies. Those are things you deal with, and there are ways to maybe you're not collateralizing the land, but you're collateralizing something, the improvement that's built on the land. You can collateralize that. You can collateralize the receipts from building on the on that improvement. There are ways to make it successful. And I think when you look at tribal economic development, again, it's, you know, what role does it play? If you're saying tribal economic development, something that's truly a tribal economic development, for example, would be gaming, because there you have the tribal government getting itself behind the economic development. You don't have tribal gaming without tribal government. But there's other ways that tribes can create a culture of economic development and growth on their reservations that would make it as easy to start a business, if not more advantageous to start a business on the reservation than in Rapid City or probably in South Dakota. Perhaps if they say that it's easier to start a business in Rapid City than on the reservation, it may be because of the location and access to the people. But if you're looking at from the legal perspective, the basic legal infrastructure you need to start a business, and thus it would be, you know, it's easier, the statement may be, it's easier to start a business in South Dakota than with a particular tribe. That's easy enough for a tribe to tackle. The tribe could pass the Uniform Commercial Code. It could pass corporation and limited liability company laws that are consistent with the rest of the nation. Many tribes across the United States have done just that, and you're starting to see an uptick in their economies, their specific economies on the reservation because of that. You could improve the tribal courts, so there's consistency and there's predictability in going into the tribal court if you're a non-tribal business. The lending laws, the commercial laws, all could be made consistent, and the laws could be easily published and easily accessible. Those are some very basic things that you could do in a heartbeat, or at least over a tribal legislative session, and probably be done within a year or two. And you've now immediately made an economy which is going to be, or an infrastructure, legal infrastructure, that's going to incentivize people to want to come to the reservation and want to do business there because there are consistent laws, there's stability, there's predictability, all the things that capital demands. All the wants and desires in the world are not going to force a capital, money, to be invested in something if you can't have stability and predictability.
Some of the native entrepreneurs here also point to a lot of positive things on the horizon. They say that there's a large number of young people in Indian country in South Dakota. I think it's one of the only places in rural America that's growing in population. Indian country in South Dakota is among them. They see great positive benefits in that. They say we're areas that grow in population, the economy grows too. And so there's a lot of good things on the horizon. They say, do you agree with this outlook?
Absolutely. And it's good to see the younger folks want to stay on the reservation. One of the things that you hope for is that they're not just staying on the reservation, but they're coming back to the reservation after they leave to go get an education, be it at one of the local universities or regional universities or somewhere on the East Coast or West Coast, perhaps even after working in a bank or working at a larger law firm, or preferably even in an engineering firm or a hospital as a doctor or a nurse, and bring back some of those critical skills. When you bring back that outside knowledge, that outside experience to the reservation, then you really have the opportunity to grow as a tribe and to create an economy and create a social infrastructure and a social context that people want to come back to and help it grow. Native Americans are uniquely drawn to the reservation and to the land because of that millennia of history and culture that sits within those reservation boundaries. That's in many respects the last jewel, last parameters of their land-based cultures. And so they want to protect it, make it grow, and improve it. So the more that we can promote the young Indians to leave for the right reasons and come back for even better reasons, it's only going to bring back a better future for the tribe.
Mr. Armit, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.